Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science. Now, this week, it's a direct result of a conference I was at, actually, and I do go to lots of conferences. It's funny this time of the year, you know, kind of September time, loads of conferences happen. I think it's because academics haven't gone back to their teaching yet, you know, and they want to go to conferences to discuss the latest developments. So I've been to a few in the last few weeks, and there's a couple more to come. But this one, I happened to find myself in Stockholm. Lovely city, recommend it to you. Great places to visit. And there was a big immunology conference and there were talks about breast milk. So this week's topic is the science of breast milk. And it's a fascinating business. And as an immunologist, I know a lot about it because we've known for quite a while now that breast milk is very good for the baby, of course, to get it to grow. But equally importantly, it protects the baby from infection. There is things in breast milk that protect the baby from getting viruses and bacteria. And that's why it's part of immunology, because the immune system is actually feeding into the breast milk to allow the baby to be protected. And it's a very active area. What gets me is the talks I went to. There was one particular talk by an Irish scientist called Lydia Lynch. And I know Lydia's a good friend of mine. She is in Princeton. And she's stumbled into an interesting aspect about breast milk. And at another conference, there were two big talks about this. So it's in the sort of immunology news, you might say, and it's extremely interesting. The bottom line is breast is best, of course. We're going to head in that direction. But the other thing that we're discovering is, could you make formula? Because sadly, some mothers aren't able to breastfeed. And you could give the baby boosts to their immune system through adding things into formula. So that's something that might come out of all this research. Now, it's called passive immunization. And it was discovered over 100 years ago, actually, now, that something in the breast milk was passing into the baby to protect it. The second area is the mother, as she carries the fetus, her antibodies go into the fetus across the placenta. And that was discovered, I'd say about 80 years ago now, and I'll come back to that in a minute. So there's been a fair bit of activity and interest in this over the years, it must be said. And it's a very serious thing because Ireland doesn't do great in this. Ireland is one of the worst countries for breastfeeding. Surveys have shown that when the baby's born, 60% of mothers will breastfeed. Within 3 months, that's down to about 40%. And after 6 months, it's only 10% of mothers are breastfeeding their babies. Now, there can be all kinds of reasons for this. It can be various stresses that the poor mother has to go through, I guess. It can be cultural. A big reason, though, is insufficient support. In other countries, there's more midwives to help the women because it's not an easy thing to do. It may seem like the most natural thing in the world, but it's tricky, apparently. Here's a middle-aged man talking about breastfeeding, but I believe it's difficult. So we need more support. And in fact, in Ireland, the Nurses and Midwives Association are asking for this, and they're saying that 82% of hospitals have insufficient support for this. So a big reason then is lack of support. And studies have shown if there's more support, it's obvious the mothers are better able for it, and then everybody benefits, basically. And the latest studies on this hugely support the beneficial effects of it. So breastfed babies have a much lower risk of getting infections. In fact, some studies show as many as 70% decrease of risk of ending up in hospital if the baby's breastfed from an infectious disease. Now, what that means is not funding midwives is a false economy. Because if a baby gets sick and ends up in hospital, that's expensive to the healthcare system, as well as being very worrying for the parents. So if you have breastfed babies, it's less likely that the baby will end up in hospital, and you'll save money on that side of it. So let's shout out for this, really. And if anybody listening who controls the purse strings in the HSE, this will be money well spent, because the babies will benefit and you'll save money in the long term. And apart from the decreased risk of infection, breastfed babies have less risk of obesity later in life, less risk of diabetes, and that's a huge cost on the healthcare system. Very clear evidence suggests their metabolism is benefited by this, such that they're less likely to develop diabetes. And that's a huge one. And then what people mightn't realise is the mother benefits as well. She benefits psychologically, which is a great thing, of course. But also, there's a decreased risk of breast and ovarian cancer, decreased risk of high blood pressure, and a decreased risk of diabetes in the mother as well. So really, it's a win-win for the mother and the baby here if breastfeeding is done. And if it's done for 6 months to 12 months, that's great. That's the key period. Now, the reason for this, again, is immunological. The nutrition bit's obvious. You're feeding the baby, aren't you? All the nutrients which the baby needs to grow. But secondly, the baby's immune system is immature, is the word we use, like much of its physiology, and it hasn't got much of an immune system. So it needs the mother's milk to help protect it against infection, to give it time for the immune system to grow and develop. And certainly in the womb, it's got no immune system. So the mother's immune system goes into the baby. And I'll come back to why that's important in a moment. And then what's really the key component that goes into the milk from the mother is an antibody. An antibody called IgA. Now, antibodies, as anyone who's listened to me will know, are the main defender against infection. They lock onto bacteria. They lock onto viruses. They help the immune system clear infections. They are, in fact, the frontline part in some ways of things in your blood and in your bodily fluids. There's loads of antibodies to do this job. And IgA, there's five types of antibodies, by the way. IgA, the given letters, IgA is the one that ends up in the milk. Now, when that goes into the baby, what's really interesting is it coats the baby's mouth, it coats the baby's windpipe, it coats the baby's gullet, you know, all over down the esophagus. It gets down into the gut and forms a wall. And that wall then, you can imagine, just think of it like painting, as it were. The paint contains a repellent for bacteria and viruses. So if a bacteria gets into the baby's mouth or into the lungs, the IgA kills it. Great. So you're coating, you're providing a coat of armour almost inside the baby through the IgA that's in the mother's milk. And that really has a big effect. The second thing that's in the milk, and this is more recent stuff, is actual immune cells. So B cells, which are the cells that make antibodies, and T cells, which instruct the B cell to make the antibody, go into the milk. And when the baby suckles, those immune cells are living and they go into the baby's body. So you're giving the baby a living thing, and the B cells are in the baby's body now and they make antibodies in the baby. The T cells are there to help everything go along. And what they've found recently is these immune cells from the mother teach the baby's immune system. So not only is the mother teaching the baby, if you know what I mean, as it gets older, obviously, verbally, the immune system is going into the baby to teach the baby's immune system how to do its job. So you're instructing the baby's immune system through the transfer of these B and T cells. The T cells also have a function to kill viruses. They're a very important antiviral part of the immune system. And Lydia's talk actually spoke about a very important immune signal called IL-17, and that gets made, and that's really important for all of this. And in particular, it's also able to stimulate milk production. So what's happening here is the immune system goes into the milk, it goes into the mother's mammary gland, and it can actually increase lactation. So again, there's a nice kind of crosstalk here, if you know what I mean. The immune system is telling the mother's gland, make more milk, and then secondly, it's going into the milk. And then the milk goes into the baby and then provides all this wonderful protection. So it's interesting how this has all been discovered. Another thing that has been found recently is the milk has an interesting type of sugar. Now, sugars are very important for us, of course. They provide us with all kinds of nutritional things. In particular, they get broken down to make ATP, the energy currency. But you can use sugars to turn into things like amino acids and fats and all sorts. So sugars are very important nutrients. But equally, there's a special sugar in milk. And the baby can't digest it. And when that was first seen, people scratched their heads and said, why would there be a sugar that you can't digest? Well, guess what? Certain bacteria can digest it. And they begin to grow in the baby's gut. And guess what? These are protective bacteria. And again, I've touched on this before. It's called the microbiome. You're making bacteria grow that are protective. In particular, bifidobacteria. Now, bifido, you may have heard of it. It's in yogurts. So what the mother is doing there is a strange one in a way. She's providing a sugar to allow the baby to grow yogurt in her own, in the baby's own body. And this yogurt is beneficial because the bacteria that are there outcompete the bad guys. So it's a bit like as if you're boosting all the sheriffs in town. And then the bad bacteria arrive and the sheriff can outcompete the bad guy. And these bifidobacteria grow. So a special sugar component is in the milk as well. Now, isn't this the most wondrous of substances? It's a magical thing, I think, in a way. Although we scientists don't believe in magic necessarily. But to me, it's a wonderful thing. You've got all the nutrients, you've got the antibodies, you've got the immune cells, and now you've got a special sugar. Evolution, of course, has built this in to make sure that the baby thrives and grows, and it's a wonderful thing. And then the last thing I want to tell you on this is about vaccines. And this is really exciting. So it's been known for a while now, if you vaccinate the mother will make antibodies in response to the vaccine, as I hope you all know by now. The mother will also make T cells in response to the vaccine that will fight the germ that the vaccine is designed to protect you against. And guess what? Those antibodies go into the baby. They go into the breast milk and now they're protecting the baby. The T cells go into the breast milk. Very importantly, when the baby's in the womb, they cross the placenta and go into the baby as well. Now, what this means is women who are pregnant should take vaccines because those vaccines will protect the fetus. And then they'll go on to protect the baby after the baby is born. The first time this was shown was really for the whooping cough vaccine. Now, whooping cough is a devastating disease, it's lethal for children, but the mother can be vaccinated and that protection transfers into the fetus and then ultimately into the baby through breast milk. And now the next one is a thing called RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. Now, anybody who knows about babies and sickness in babies will know this because this is a devastating virus. It can be lethal in babies. It's respiratory, a bit like COVID to some extent, affects the lungs. Very severe, right? Now, guess what? They've now got a vaccine to give the mother. And that protection now against RSV transfers into the baby. And what's really nice here is you can treat the baby with antibodies anyway. And babies that would have caught RSV, they end up in hospital often. They're often given antibodies injected into them or special ways to stop the virus. And that works a bit. And that is protective. But this is much better. If you immunize the mother, the babies that are born are 80% protected against RSV just simply by immunizing the mother. And remember, the numbers are stark. If you don't protect the babies, over 160,000 babies die every year of RSV. But these studies are now very clear. Vaccinate the mother. Now in Ireland, they haven't approved it yet for mothers. They have in other countries. It'll come along to Ireland soon, I'm sure, and it'll be a great way to stop RSV. And if you talk to any doctor in a hospital that's treating babies, this was a fearful condition. But now, 80% protection by vaccinating the mother. And of course, some mothers might prefer to take the vaccine themselves as opposed to vaccinating the baby, because you can always, we vaccinate the babies as well, remember. But this is another option to help protect the babies through the mother. And remember, the safety signal on this is massive. Anything that's involving babies and fetuses are really tested carefully for obvious reasons. These are very safe and they really are effective and the benefit is massive. So that RSV breakthrough only happened in the past few months. And we're very excited about this because it could mean RSV now plummeting, which would be a tremendous thing through the mother's immune system. And the last thing I want to tell you is this is an Irish connection to all of this, which I only came across recently. I wasn't aware of this myself, to my shame. I'm supposed to be an immunologist who should know these things. But an Irish scientist called Francis Bramble, who grew up in Sandy Cove in County Dublin, discovered this process of the mother passing antibodies into the fetus as the fetus is growing in the mother's womb. He discovered this process of passive immunization. And he found something very interesting. He found a special protein that helps the antibodies traffic across the placenta. So the antibodies have to cross the placenta. That's not a trivial tissue to cross. And Bramble discovered what are called neonatal FC receptors. There's a mouthful for you. But he found a mechanism to help antibodies cross the placenta into the fetus. And he was famous for this in the 1930s, in fact. But people have forgotten about him. So let's shout out for Bramble. Now, it's interesting anyway, in terms of how the immune system works. But probably even more excitingly, recently, what he discovered is being used to help any antibody. Now, I'll give you one example. There's a drug now in trials for Johnson & Johnson for myasthenia gravis. That's an autoimmune disease. When you make antibodies to your own nervous system, and paralysis is a feature, you can block that by mopping up the antibodies that attack your own tissues. And it turns out Bramble's thing that binds antibodies can mop them up. And that is now in trials to stop antibodies sort of doing mischief in that situation. The second example is to help antibodies. And there are anti-cancer antibodies out there now. And Bramble's discovery is enhancing those antibodies. So what Bramble found, I suppose, is a key way to either stop or enhance antibodies. And both of those are now being deployed. The main one, I think, that's most exciting is this business of enhancing antibodies. Because remember, that's what it does in the mother. It allows the antibodies into the fetus and makes them do their job. And then very clever scientists said, why don't we enhance antibodies anywhere? And especially antibodies that kill tumours. So now there are trials running with Bramble's discovery to help antibodies fight tumours. What a strange turnaround. I mean, this is classic science in a way. So one discovery is made in one place, in this case, how antibodies get into fetuses. And that's being deployed now in a different context, in this case, in cancer. So you can't beat human ingenuity. So a big shout out to Bramble. If this continues, we should put a statue up to Francis Bramble in Sandy Cove, maybe near the 40-foot or something like that. I will start a campaign to make Bramble great again. But there you have it. That is the science of breast milk. Many interesting aspects about the immune system there. I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks for listening. And as ever, my podcast is available every Thursday. Is a News Talk production, wherever you get your podcasts.